Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller. I'm thrilled to have you here tonight. We've got a brand new TV show we're going to be finding out about called The Omega File. We've got the creator, producer, and director, Mr. Massimiliano Cerchi. He'll be joining us in just a minute. He has graciously allowed me to call him Max, so we'll have Max on the show in just a second. Want to give some shout-outs to some folks today. Real quick as we start the show. Big thanks to author David Pratt for coming on the show on Monday night. Last night we did our first tri-continent broadcast with Mary Lou Monroe Ray. She was broadcasting live from Brisbane, Australia with Xavier Sear from Cape Town, South Africa, and I was, of course, here in Southern California. So that was really, really cool. Logistically, I need to thank both of them for calling it in the middle of the night in respective days and times for that, for just really kind of a fun show to find out about all the things that Xavier is doing in South Africa, from photography. He's an author and also a singer-songwriter as well. But tonight, we're going to be talking to Max, who, again, is the producer, director, star, or producer, director, creator of The Omega File. And we've also got one of the stars on the show who we might sneak on the line in a little bit as well. But, Max, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here tonight. I sure appreciate your time.
Thank you, Garrett. Thank you for having me here. You know, it's my pleasure. I am actually live from Colombia. You're actually
wow.
on set. Yeah, we decided to do it outside U.S. due to the fact that the dollar value here in Colombia is double, so we can save a lot of money. So I'm here, you know, I'm on New York time, so I'm just 2 hours ahead of you. So
okay.
You know, I'm not awake. It's not like 2 a.m. or or something like that. So you know,
well,
my
you
mind
never
is
know.
Too fresh.
Sometimes it's like that, but it's good. So let me ask you this. As a producer, you brought that up really quickly, you know, making sure that you can stretch that dollar as far as you possibly can. You wear a lot of hats in this production for The Omega File. You're the creator, producer, and director. What kind of prompted you to wear so many hats on a tremendous undertaking like this? Because that's a lot of responsibility.
Well, I'm actually used to do that. I started doing this in 1994. So next month in May, I will be exactly 21 years in the business. And
wow.
I'm used to do pretty much everything myself. At the beginning, I was also doing DP, camera, sound, all at the same time while we were shooting a movie. Right now, I have actually a small but very competent crew. My DP is also a set designer. I don't know if you see some of the sets that I posted on my Facebook page. My DP is also my sound guy. Once we'll be shooting, I will be behind the camera as well. And I have a couple of assistants, and that's it. That's my crew. So
Wow. Everybody's
wearing different hats every time. So,
well, that must make your job so much better to have such competent people that are standing with you and beside you to wear a lot of the hats that you would normally do yourself. That must take a lot of the weight off your shoulders.
It does, actually. You know, when I first started, like I said, I didn't have too much money, so I'm not the kind of guy who just sit down and waits for a miracle or from some guy just sending me maybe $1 million for my first feature. So I had to use my own resources. We did a movie in 1997 called Hellinger. This movie became a cult movie after a couple of years, and the movie was done with only $8,000. We were the first, we were one of the few production company that we will start shooting directly on video. At the time, it was a digital tapes, and with that, we got distribution through Hollywood Video, Blockbuster, and all the rest. And it was a good experience, you know. You learn from your mistake. You learn from, you know, how to approach distribution companies and all the rest. Right now, I'm very lucky that I have a very good team behind me, not just the actors, but also my distribution company, my crew. I have a good distribution company called SGL Entertainment. They also handle, they will handle all my future movies and this project as well. So, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, the public will like something new and with a little throwback of the 80s, 90s.
Well, who doesn't like a little retro from the 80s and 90s at this point? So let's dive in. I have so many questions for you, but let's just dive into what everybody's listening for tonight. It's the Omega File. Tell us about the new show and what it's about.
Okay. Like I said, we decided to shoot this outside the U.S. due to the fact that in Colombia the value of the dollar is double, pretty, actually a little bit more than double. So we can stretch a budget. I have very good investor that they were very supportive since day one, and that's very important because you know it's already stressful doing a movie with no support. So when I got support from you know investor, distribution company, the actor, the crew, construction crew, everybody on the set that is right now building the set are doing it pretty much for pennies on the dollar. So it's. It's something that is really helpful. The Omega File is a story. Will be a lot of, let's say, reptilians, New World Order, Illuminati, all this mixed together in it. Pretty much there is a race of alien reptilians, and they form a sort of control of all over the world, and this group is called the Order. There are a few rebels called the Alliance, that they try to stop them to release this virus called the Omega File. It's a DNA virus who will transform the people into obedient slaves. So it's a sort of, like I say, sort of New World Order Illuminati theories in the movie. So it's something fun, you know, something new. I hope people will like it. I certainly do. The actor on board are very excited, looks like. The investor are excited as well. Distribution is already on the move. I had the time last year to shoot a couple of trailer with virtual special effect VFX, so we can give the different buyers an idea on what the show will be about. And now April 20, we will be shooting the pilot and episode 2. So
cool.
Lots of work.
Can you tell us about the cast? I know that there's several names on here that I'm very familiar with, including Jack Currington, who I've met and also had on the show for other work that he's done. So it's I think that may have been how we ended up getting connected, Max. But
I think
you've got an all-star
so.
Cast.
Thank God, yes. And like I say, all these people really believe in the project. And, you know, they're here working their A off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're very good people. Jack Currington, actually, I met him in a very strange way. I saw his commercial of Mike DeLupo, entertainment attorney. I know, I think you're familiar with that. And it was really good. I found him on Facebook, contacted him, and we become friends actually pretty quickly. And he will be here on board. There is wrestler Al Snow. I know him for many years, and finally we had the chance to work together. Former wrestler, now country star, Don Yates, Don Hollywood Yates, actually. And I got very lucky that I met Phyllis. I think he's on the line right now listening to what I'm saying, so I have to speak good about her. Former wrestler, Diedrich Davis, and an excellent team of writers. So cast, like I said, cast and crew, all supportive, you know, and when these things happen, which is very rare, you know, it makes my job easier in a way, actually in many ways.
I think having such a fantastic crew and your cast is just, you are setting yourself up for great success here with the series. Can you tell us about some of the characters on the show? I know that you've got the main character, Solomon Archer, and his lover, the Snake Woman.
Yes.
What's kind of the dynamic of the story that's happening? I know you kind of told us about the Omega File, but who are these characters that we're going to fall in love with?
Sure. Actually, one of the characters already fall in love with the main character, which is the Snake Woman. The Snake Woman is the sister of the evil Emperor Mestema. She betrayed a brother to join the alliance, the rebellion, let's say, due to the fact that she realized that the brother is completely insane. The Rebel, actually, are very few actors. There is a big TV star from Germany called Sebastian Van Vray. He will play the role of Rocky, which is a sort of the thing from Fantastic Four. So his body will be sort of rock, and his name is Rocky, of course. There will be a former wrestler, Diedrich Davis. He will play a bounty hunter that joined the Omega Five, of course, for the money. You know, everything is, you know, everything is is money in this world.
Of course.
And then we have General Zandor, will be played by Jack Currenton. General Zandor is the right arm of the Emperor Mestema, and there is a group of the Omega Soldier, sort of, you know, stormtrooper. I hope they don't have you know, bad aiming like them. I hope they have a better aim. and you know, this it's pretty much the eternal fight between good and evil. But
there we go. Let me ask you a question, because you know, you have a lot of reptilian type of characters that are going to be on the show.
Yeah.
How did you decide that you wanted to incorporate such scaly characters into your cast?
We tried, actually, like I say, we're following the reptilian / New World Order / Illuminati theories.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that in Visitor we had a sort of reptilian. You know, you remember Visitor, the old 80s TV show? So
sure.
I decided to make an upgrade and show them with the true form directly. So there will be no transformation. There will be no fake skin covering their leader skin. You know, Earth population is already being dominated by them, so they're showing the true color right away. It's try to do something interesting. The people doing all the prosthetic are the people who were behind the movie Wolverine. And they're very, very good people. They give me actually a very good deal on the special effect. So we have something, you know, with the Hollywood quality, but a fraction of the cost. So
I love Hollywood quality at a fraction of the cost. I live that all the time. Hey, everybody, we're talking to director Max with The Omega File. It's a new TV series that he is starting to shoot down in Colombia. We're going to ask him some more questions about that in just a second. But if you are watching or listening to the show tonight, we have the Facebook page for The Omega File. It's facebook.com/the-omega-file. You can go and like the page now. And then, of course, The Omega File .com is the website. And one of the things that I really like about your website, Max, is the fact that you are really keeping it updated from a social media standpoint, but you have given a lot of thought to how you want to try to get fans, I call it married to the show, but you know, get fans really interested in everything that you've got. You have one of the most interesting and fun merchandise pages for a TV show that I've seen in a very long time. Can you tell me why you decided to come up with such a rich merchandise collection before the show even launched?
We work actually hand-to-hand with my distribution company, SGL Entertainment, and we decided to start an Indiegogo campaign. So we start to prepare all the merchandise. The merchandise is made in China, but they ship directly from the factory, so that also cut the cost. Usually, when you have some stuff to give to the people, usually it's come from the factory to your office, and then you have to send it to, you know, to the people. We decided to do a direct approach with the factory in China, and they will ship directly to the customer. So, you know, save them money, you know, save us money. So it will be a win-win. Before starting the Indiegogo campaign, we were like, we will do it, we will not do it. Then I approached some of my past investors that they really like the idea. They said, no, don't worry about Indiegogo. We'll, you know, we'll finance the TV series ourselves. And it was also, you know, easier on my side, because if not, I was supposed to be on the set and then in my office and then checking, you know, the perks and the people interested to help us making this a reality. So we went straight with the investor. And of course, we kept all the catalog for the merchandise. So I said, let's offer this to the people, you know, because every dollar that we make goes directly into the funds of the show. I'm not taking money, not even a cent out of it. I will be the last person who will be paid once we will sell the TV series. So pretty much I'll be working for 6 months, a year, for free. You know these things. Everybody who will buy a watch or a shirt or a mouse pad, you know, these things help because it will make me breathe a little bit easier every day, and the money will go towards, you know, the builder, the construction crew, the rent of the sets, and so on. So
I
it's
love
a little
and,
bit
and you've
of
got
a
some,
breath of fresh air.
You've got some cool stuff on here. You've got the Omega File hip flask. You've got iPhone cases for the iPhone 6, the iPhone 5, the Samsung Galaxy. You've got the Omega File acrylic jigsaw puzzle, a stainless steel watch, belt buckles, dog tags, keychains,
mouse pads.
Mouse pads. I mean, it's like, holy cow, you got everything under the sun on this. So I just think that's half the fun, is especially with the show that hasn't launched yet. You kind of get in on the ground floor, and you get all the cool merch before all of your friends get it. And then, you know, you're one of the masses at that point. So tonight, if you want to go on to the omegafile.com, there's a great store page. You can go and click on any of the little pictures they have on here. And you have stuff as economical as $19.99. And I think your priciest thing is $25. So if you really just want, or $30. Or those are ladies. Mm-hmm. There's a ladies' Omega File leather handbag for $49. Where are you going to get that? And with the logo. So go and check that out as well. So when we take a look at the show here, we were talking right before the show started. I think you said that you were going to film the pilot in episode number 2. What is the process that you go through when? Because I know you have your investor, but what happens after you get the pilot and a couple of episodes in the can? What do you do next?
Well, this is pretty much the layout. Once we have the pilot, we will send it to my distribution company. We already have contact with many mini major distributor. Let's say, for example, Hulu was very interested to have a first look, same as Sci-Fi Channel. Then we have Roku, then we have Vimeo On Demand, we have Vudu, we have iTunes, Xbox 360, Amazon.com Prime, Google Play, and many, many other, Flixhouse, PushPlay, Real HD, and the list goes on and on and on. It's around 650 plus mini major or streaming channels, which is pretty much, let's call them digital retailers.
Sure.
So where the movies will go, there are companies like Hulu or Roku or Vudu that they're in big needs of original programming. So This company, they are not too much into creative control. So if they approve the pilot, we are in pretty much. They will pay for the full series, and we will start shooting 2 episodes every 2 months. Because I have to bring all the cast here, which costs money, hotels
Sure.
and food and everything else. But on the other hand, we save money on taxes. We save money on renting of the studio and so on. So pretty much once the pilot is sold, everybody will get a percentage, and everybody will make money. I decided to do trust me on this, and we will make money, or pretty much goodbye. And everybody jumped on board, and pretty much if it goes well, everybody will be a little bit richer. So
hopefully a lot richer. That would be cool.
A win-win situation. It would be a win-win for everybody. I'm investing, my time and my money. The actor investing their experience and their time. So I say instead of giving them, a flat rate, why I want to give them motivated and give them a percentage on the sales. And
I like that.
Everybody agreed, and here we are.
Max, let me ask you this. You talked about the fact that there's like 600 different distribution channels or networks that, are out there around the world, and they keep growing every day. Do you have a preference? I'm sure, you may say, well, yes, the one with the biggest check. So, putting money aside, do you have a preference on if you'd prefer to be with a major network where a lot of times you have the opportunity to get canceled a lot sooner, or would you prefer to be on, like one of those internet channels like Yahoo or Hulu or Netflix or something like that? Do you have any kind of preference?
Sure. For example, if we go with the Sci-Fi Channel, they ask for First Look. The only problem with Sci-Fi Channel, they want creative control, which is, you know, will be a stab in the back for me giving to the actors, because usually they will say, well, we like the pilot, but we want to change the actors. And I'm a very loyal person. I'm, I think, one of the few in this business. That's why I have no money. So, you know, I will be against my policy to say yes for a quick check, and then, you know, they will put in their writer on the show. We will change all the characters, and something that I really don't want to do. On the other hand, Hulu, Roku TV, Vudu, iTunes, or, you know, or Amazon.com Prime as well, they will take the product as is, and that allows me to have creative control, keep everybody who helped me during the pilot, you know, for all the future episodes. We have the actually huge interest from Germany, from a couple of major networks. Germany doesn't have creative control. They would just, you know, buy straight. And with Germany, I can immediately pay my investor, and, you know, and plus they will get a nice percentage out of it. So I prefer going through the mini major, such as Hulu, or and the other 649 streaming company, and Germany, then going with Sci-Fi Channel, and then I get pretty much blocked on creative control, choice of casting, and all the rest. So
I find that, Max, as interesting as the show, because, you know, this is a changing world. You know, you said you're going to be in the business, 21 years next month, and I'm sure 21 years ago, the world looked a lot different than it does today from a technology standpoint, but also from a business standpoint, and actually how you develop and create a show that's not only interesting to watch, but also financially successful. What do you think has been one of the biggest changes that you've seen in your time in the business?
Well, before there were video stores, you know, there was Hollywood Video, there was Blockbuster, there were all the hundreds and thousands of mom and pops video store. And at the time, I had absolutely no idea or no desire to do a TV show regarding all the politics and all the connection that you need to have, and so on. Right now, there is actually a good thing right now and a bad thing at the same time. The good thing is, with the technology cost lower, everybody can make a movie. And the bad thing is, with the lower technology, everybody can make a movie. So, you know,
there is double-edged sword.
An inflation of the market from pretty much every kid taking a camera and shooting a movie. And when I speak with them, I ask them, you know, did you do film school? Did you have an prior experience? And what they tell me, no, I watch a lot of movies. You know, I know how to do a movie. It's like me saying, you know, I watch a lot of ER. I know how to do an operation. So, you know, and that's pretty much what I'm hearing, like, constantly. So I was like, oh, okay, all right. You know, everybody are big shots right now.
Well,
I stay humble.
That's also why there's 650 channels, you know, I guess, because that's
exactly.
Get everybody the, yeah. We just need to get you
everybody
with the Omega file, with a nice big fat check for, you know, you and your cast and crew. So that would be even better.
What my distribution company actually is trying to do is something actually very smart. They are trying not to take any exclusive from anybody, so we can have the pilot showing on all the 600 plus streaming companies, and
cool.
It doesn't matter where you in the world, you know, you can see the movie, or on Hulu, which is only for US, or on Flixbuster, which is, or 2BTV.com, which is international. Actually, 2BTV has a very good policy. They show movie for free or TV series for free, but with commercial breaks. So we will split the commercial breaks with them, and the fan, the viewer, can see the show for free. So it will be
nice.
A win-win for everybody. So we're
I
trying
think
to
that's really
this.
Cool.
Yeah, we're trying to have this. You know, plus, if you don't want to watch with commercial breaks, you have Hulu Plus or Amazon.com Prime, you know, and all the rest. So that the public has a choice, instead of just, you know, connecting on Sci-Fi at that hour, at that time, that day, they can choose pretty much when they want to watch the show, on what channel, on, you know, at their time, at their time zone, pretty much. So
well, and
try to do something new.
that's really the future of, I think, all TV. You know, it's really going to an on-demand format where you can either binge watch the entire series, and you know, if you have 10 episodes, 10-hour process, or you can watch it, you know, when you get back from your vacation in 6 weeks and not have to feel like you've missed out on anything.
I
think you're so smart on that, Max. It just is really interesting to hear somebody who has experience, you know, giving us our take on this. We got a few minutes left, and before I let you go, I would love for you to talk about ways that you would like to see the fans get connected to the show. I know we kind of talked about the website, theomegafile.com, and buying some merchandise, but do you have a marketing strategy for the viewers on how you plan to reel them in and keep them excited about the show?
Actually, I talk with all the fans every day. I'm from 6 to 12 hours a day on Facebook. So they can go to my Facebook, massimiliano.cerchi. They can send me a friend request. They can see there all behind the scenes. There are pictures of the sets being built. So I answer all the questions physically until I pass out pretty much. And
there you go.
Right now I don't have too much time because I'll be 6 hours a day on the computer, 8 hours a day on the set, and 6 hours back on the computer again.
Wow.
So if they catch me, it's around 16 hours a day pretty much.
Wow.
My usual schedule. That's why, you know, us in the business have no life. You know, there's a lot of people complaining that we have no life, which is true, and and that's what we do pretty much. There are lots of wannabe, you know, they party first and then they work maybe an hour a week. So, you know, I'm on the opposite side. I'm old school, so I am absolutely tough.
Hey, Max, one of the things that you posted earlier today, you had what we call the Omega File Mini Update, and
yes.
You have a picture on your Facebook page of what one of the sets looks like. It
mm-hmm.
looks like they finished this at 2:38 this morning, and you
mm-hmm.
didn't waste any time in getting that posted. Tell us about some of the set design and how that impacts your story.
Well, I'm very lucky that my DP is also my set designer. So his name is Pico. That's his, you know, nickname. So this guy is really hardworking like me, which is very good. I give him pretty much free range. He likes to work at night, so he's there. You know, he sets up all the set. Takes a still, send it to me. I approve. I don't approve, and then he changes stuff. So it's very good. At 2:30, I'm actually in bed while he's working. So. Then while he's resting daytime, I'm doing other stuff. So we have this thing, everything set up. And with this mini update, every day I post a picture as soon as I get it. And so, you know, the fan, the public, and everybody interested, or the investor especially, they can see all the progress of the show. They can see how many sets we're building right now, how the set will look like. And then April 20, we will start shooting. So after April 20, we'll be slowed down a little bit.
Like you said on your Facebook today, you got 12 days until the filming starts for the Omega File in Colombia. That is cool. What
mm-hmm.
can you say without getting into too much trouble? What city in Colombia you're in?
Actually, no. Just let's avoid because you never know.
Okay.
Some stalker wants to.
You never know. So okay, that's fair enough. Fair enough. We do have Phyllis on the line who has just been, you know, calling in to lend support to the show. Can we bring her on and say hi to Phyllis?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Right on. So, Phyllis, welcome back to, well, you and I were talking before the show, but to the listeners, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you. Oh, it's an honor to be supporting this project. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Phyllis, can you tell us about your character and your role in the show?
Oh, yes, of course. I just want to say a couple of things. When I first met Max or spoke with him, I was like, is there a YouTube video on how to pronounce your name? Because I'm so long. And then the next thing was that, you know, we start talking. He sent me, I have the character, Lila, and it's really neat because she's a really strong character, as well as she's playful. And something neat about this whole series or that he put together, Max put together, and you know, the cast and crew is that all the cast, we've been able to keep in touch with each other. And my character, you know, her boyfriend in this is Solomon, played by Don. And he is a rather large person, and so is Rock Sebastian, as well as, you know, Diedrich Davis. And one of the things about it was I said, Max, where is this going to be at? He said, Columbia. And I was like, oh, my God, Columbia. So I said, oh, my goodness. So I reached out to the other, you know, actors and said, don't worry. They, you know, they're going to have to come through us if they want to get you. I said, okay, I'm in. But no, this everyone believes in the project, and I think the chemistry is what's really going to make this unique for the Omega File. Just because you know, I'm from Devine, Texas, small Texas town, and what's neat is the characters. I know Sebastian, he's from Germany, and I lived over there, so we all have some common things. Don, he is also, you know, he's been in the rodeo and singing and a lot of different in music industry, but it's like I said, once I saw that, the script, I fell in love with it because I could really see my character coming to life. And like I said, it's going to be some action and, you know, excitement. There's going to be a little bit of romance, I say. But it's going to have a story, and that's what I really like about it. And
how,
also
it,
it's...
As I say, this is a silly question to ask, Phyllis, but how important is that as an actor for you to actually have work that you really enjoy reading? You know, not just, you know, some, here's another script that, okay, I'll just, you know, kind of roll with it, but you have something that you really are going to sink your teeth into.
It's huge. It's huge because there have been a couple incidents where I have had seen a script and I looked at it and a couple approached and I didn't like it. I couldn't feel it. And sometimes as an actor, even though I'd say I'm an upcoming actress, I still have the opportunity to say, you know, that's not something I see myself in, and therefore I just don't really believe in it. So I think it's really important to know who you're working with, the chemistry between the characters, how you can bring that character to life, to screen, and make people around the world, not just the U.S., but around the world, believe it. So it's huge. And like I said, Max
cool.
has been, done a really good job with it.
And I'm sorry, I've got one of my dogs that just wanted to start climbing on my lap and playing with the microphone, so you might have heard a little feedback, so I apologize for having that interrupt you, Phyllis. But that's... I'm so excited that you're part of this project and that you've called in tonight. Max, well, I'll ask both of you. Do you guys have any mad props that you want to send out to folks or last words of wisdom to the listeners and hopefully soon-to-be fans for the Omega File?
Well,
okay,
I know. I'm just, for me, I'm just super excited to bring – I'm prior military, so I'm excited to have all these people bringing their selves also to these characters. So – bringing them to life and to support this project because Max is, he has taken a lot of his own time. A lot of us are going down there for, we have a plane ticket, we have our travel expenses, but we're doing it because we believe in it. And so I hope everyone else does, and it's going to be exciting.
Cool. Well, Phyllis, thanks for calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold for as long as you want to hang out. We're here for the rest of the hour. But thanks for calling in on that. And Max, I'll leave the last final words of our time together with you. Anything you'd like to leave the listeners with or people you want to say hi to tonight?
Well, I forgot to mention a great actress who will be part in the following episodes. Her name is Dana Lee Heising, or Heising. I always misspell her last name. So, Dana, if you're listening, I'm sorry. She will play the queen who was being dethroned by the evil emperor Mestema, of course. And she's also a very good actress. She's been in tons of movies. So the cast is very solid. The crew is behind me 100%. So we have international interest from Germany, Japan, Europe. So hopefully, you know, with the help of everybody involved. Cast, crew, investor, and the fan, we can make this a very good series. And, you know, like I say, feel free to follow me on my Facebook for upgrade, silliness, and various stupidity that sometimes I post. So I'll try to make things interesting every day.
Well, Max, I can't wait to find out how the filming of the pilot and episode 2 goes. As you continue to have progress with this, I'd love for you to stay in touch and bring you back on, and we can start talking about when it's going to start to debut and all of that fun stuff as well. That would be tons of fun. But on behalf of everybody listening tonight, I want to thank you for taking time to call in all the way from Colombia. I think this is our international week for where all of our guests are at. So thanks again, Max, for being here. And everybody else, we're going to play Nicole. She was our recent guest on the Friday Night Dance Party. This is her top 10 Billboard hit, Zero. And we'll be right back right after this. Hang tight. That was Nicole and her hit single, Zero, off of the Billboard charts. And that's off of her album, Hallucinations. And I had a chance to meet with Nicole recently. Could not have been nicer if you'd paid her. She's just one of the sweetest, most down-to-earth people you've ever met. This is like her fourth or fifth album. This is the first one that's any, been, I'd say, like any pop-ish. You know, her other albums have been very R&B, fun music, but just a completely different sound on Hallucinations. And if you didn't hear that episode with Nicole, I'll encourage you to go back and do that. But, of course, we feature her music regularly on the show, as we do all of the guests from the Friday Night Dance Party. We'll be playing probably some Worry Dolls. I'm going to pick my favorite song off of their new EP. We did a world premiere of the EP, The Ride, for the Worry Dolls a couple of weeks ago, and everybody totally freaked out on that. So we'll try to play a little Worry Dolls before the show is over. Let me tell you what an interesting day today has been. I have been racing around doing all kinds of stuff, but up in Hollywood meeting with another music video director. As everybody knows, last week I filmed two music videos that are going to be coming out when the album is ready in a couple of weeks. The first single is called Gay Wedding, and it's a remake of Billy Idol's White Wedding. and it's gone through his publisher, got the golden stamp of approval. We've done all kinds of cool stuff to get that ready to launch, but that's going to launch on May 5th. And the other single we did the video for was Blonde Jesus, and that's the title track for the album. And it's meant to be controversial only because you hear that, the word Jesus, and everybody's going to start freaking out. But you hear the song, and it's like, hey, this is really cool, and you can dance to it. But we did the videos last week. But in all of the prep for this, I had met another young man who does all kinds of videos. Music videos are one of his specialties as well. And so I had a chance to go up and visit with Tony today. And he had such an interesting story. Tony Aaron, the second, I need to make sure I have the second on there, but he just basically sat down and told me his life story and how he got involved in film and some of the projects that he's working on. And you never know who you're going to meet or how the world will turn. So I'm really grateful to having Tony as a lunch guest this afternoon. Hey, this is coming out on all the news wires today, and I thought this was just kind of interesting. And I haven't read much more into it than just the headline. So Barry Manilow got married, it looks like it says, sometime last year to his longtime manager, Gary Keefe. And they exchanged vows last year in front of family and friends at Manilow's Palm Springs home. Guests were surprised, not knowing they were actually being invited to a wedding. I thought that was really cool. Because, Barry went on last year and did his big farewell tour. And I thought that it was because that, he had both of his hips replaced at some point. And I guess that was some of the reasoning behind that. Because, he could go sell out like he's been selling out in Las Vegas and pretty much tour any place and sell the venues out. But apparently there may have been, just a little extra love involved in the decision there. But it was saying earlier today that he's never discussed his sexual orientation, but in 2012 he told The Telegraph that he wasn't dating anyone, and they said, happily single? And he said, yep, happily single. He says, I'm a private guy. You can only come into my world if I invite you in. From the very beginning, that was the rule. I learned how to deal with a publicity press thing. You just say, I'm not interested in talking about that. Even the names of my dogs, they're my kids. My friends are my friends, and my family is my family. They're mine. That's the only way I can survive. I have to keep that to me. I don't want strangers knowing everything. If that happened, that would drive me crazy. So this is actually the second time Barry Manilow has walked down the aisle. He got an annulment from his ex-wife, Susan Deixler, in 1966 after 2 years of marriage. And so I hope that Barry and Gary, that has to make for just all kinds of hilarity on the home front. But Barry and Gary, I wish you all the best. Are you a big fan, everybody, of the DirecTV ads? I always think the Rob Lowe commercials have been some of the most brilliant advertising in ever to actually see on TV. And, I don't have TV because I just don't have time to sit down and watch it, so I've got the little HD antenna on the outside of the house, and that tends to work really well. And any other TV watching I do is, just like with Max here, I'm watching it off of Hulu or Netflix or Yahoo Prime or something like that. But Comcast apparently wasn't real happy with, a lot of things in life, because as a multi-trillion-dollar company, they have, nothing else to worry about other than the fact that Rob Lowe was doing fantastic ads for DirecTV. But they've now pulled his ads, and I'm really, really disappointed about that. So that's a couple of headlines. We're going to have some more news for you in just a second. I'm going to play another song. Well, we'll do the Worry Dolls now. This is called Up Yours. Real quick song, 2 minutes, 41 seconds. Not that you're counting, but it flies by, and we'll be right back after this. UK sensation. We did the world premiere 2 weeks ago of their new EP called The Ride. That is one of the songs on the new record called Up Yours. It's my favorite, so that's the one that's getting all the power play here. I want to bring on a special guest who's been on the show before, Jack Currenton, who is actually one of the stars of the Omega File as well. He is calling in tonight. And, Jack, welcome back to Rated G Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm terrific. It's always great to be on with you, Garrett. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So what's been up since we talked to you last? I know you've been a busy, busy, busy man. I don't think you sleep.
I do, but usually it's standing up.
Well, there you go. There you go. You know what? I've met you in person. I would not put it past you to sleep standing up.
Yeah, well, I've been busy with a lot of commercials, a lot of filming, and in just about 9 days, I'm going to be heading down to Columbia so we can work on the Omega Files with Max.
How cool is that for you? Now, in your career, have you done a lot of traveling around the world?
Actually, in the last couple of years, I've done a lot, and most of it's been over to Europe, because you've seen my spots for Norway and Sweden and the Scandinavian countries and Europe.
You're everywhere.
I love it. I love traveling.
So what was one of the things that really drew you to the Omega File? Because it's such an interesting concept, and it's, you know, a sci-fi show that I don't think has been done before. It certainly hasn't been done like this. What made you want to be part of this project?
Well, I'm a sci-fi geek. I love sci-fi. I know I'm a Star Trekkie. I'm a Star Wars fan. I know all of them. Anything that explodes or flies or shoots, I go see. And so the idea of being part of this record-breaking, groundbreaking project, I just had to jump at. And besides that, I get to be something I'm usually not, and that is the villain.
Well, what is that like for you to go into a project like this where you're going to be playing, you know, such a character?
Well, it's really, I've always felt that I could have that side because, you know, my acting background has me everything from the crazy Disney grandfathers to Shakespeare and everything in between. And so this time I get to really take on a meaty role. It's like the Darth Vader of this entire series. So I get to be the really, really bad guy. And in the first episode, I get blown up. So I come back looking really kind of messed up.
Well, you know, if you're going to go, you might as well go get blown up. That's awesome.
You know, you've seen the pictures, right?
Yeah, you are. I mean, I've seen all of. Well, I don't say all of them. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that, but I've seen a lot of the special effects. I've seen a lot of the costuming. I've seen a lot of the pictures on set that Max has shared with me. So I'm just thrilled for you guys to go down there in 12 days and get it all shot. Well, you're going down a little bit early. Are you going to have any time for fun and stuff like that while you're there? It's going to be pretty much just business as usual.
Well, you know, I hope so, because I've never been to South America, so I'd like to get a little chance to see some of what's going on down there and some of the area. Whenever I go on any of these trips, what I always do is I earmark out an extra few days to see the country or the city or wherever I'm at. Last time I went, I had 2 days of filming, and I spent 11 days vacationing in London and Paris and Copenhagen.
Wow. How cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So now I get a chance to see the wonderful aspect of things south of the equator.
So do you have anything that's really on your hot button of things that you want to do while you're there outside of working on the Omega File?
Well, I'd love to go to Rio, you know, maybe go to Ecuador, pick up an emerald.
and start romancing the stone, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
But there's so much down there that I'm right now starting to do a little bit of research. And since Max lives there, it's going to be great because he can kind of guide me along in some of the beauties of his own country.
Hey, then I have a question here for you. So since you're going down there for the first time, do you have to get any special shots or inoculations, that type of stuff, before you head down there?
You know, I've just put a call into my doctor, so I'm going to make sure of that. I should know within the next couple of days if there's anything special I have to do.
Right on. Well, Jack, I'm going to wish you all kinds of luck. And like I told Max, you know, you're welcome here anytime, and if we can get some updates as the project gets closer to being finished and, you know, we can tell people where to watch it and all that good stuff, I want you to call back, and we'll make time to put a spotlight on you.
Thanks, Garrett, and thanks for giving me a couple minutes to give it a plug.
Hey, you betcha, Jack. Travel safe, and I can't wait for your return and updates. So you take care of yourself, okay?
Okay, my friend. Nice talking with you.
Okay, thank you. So we got a couple of people who are on the line tonight that I'm not going to bring on, but I'm going to say that I'm going to give Rebecca a call after the show's over, and we're going to talk. Rebecca, as you know, she's a guest on the show once a month, and I'm trying to look real carefully when we're going to have her back. I think she's on Wednesday, April 22nd. Rebecca's an intuitive psychic, and whenever she's on the show, she has people lined up around the block, down the city streets and, you know, out to the train station, because when she's on, everybody wants to talk to her. And I owe her a call. I also want to give a big shout-out to Ken and Angela Downey of Downey's Desserts. They did a fantastic job catering the video shoot last week, and they are down in Costa Mesa. If you aren't a big fan of desserts, and I'm going to be upfront and honest with everybody, I am not. I don't like dessert, and I haven't for a very long time, and dessert to me now would really definitely be, you know, like a cup of ice cream or something like that. But I hate cake, I hate brownies, I hate everything. And then I had the opportunity to meet Ken and Angela about a year and a half ago and help them with a couple of their events. They make the best desserts I've ever had in my entire life. They have a signature Downey brownie. It's also called the Baio brownie. Scott Baio from Happy Days, you remember him? You know, Chachi. He loves brownies so much, but only loves the Downey's brownies. They've actually renamed it for a couple of charity things that they've worked on. But they've also got some amazing snickerdoodles and pumpkin bread and the world's best bite-sized red velvet cupcakes. They are some of the most fantastic desserts that you've ever eaten. And I think what I like about them is most of them are bite-sized, which means that you can have a piece of dessert and not feel like you just have to go and run 18 miles on the treadmill. But you can also, just have a bite. You know, it's not overwhelming. So if you wanted to have, you know, a brownie and then you wanted a red velvet cupcake or you wanted whatever, you know, they make these in such bite-sized forms that, you know, you can have like one of everything and still not even have the equivalent of one, quote-unquote, normal-sized portion and feel very good about yourself. So it's not going to kill your self-esteem, your diet, or, your waistline. So Ken and Angela were very nice and did some really fantastic desserts for the videos last week. And everybody went home, I think, with an extra care package. And I think there's still a picture of me eating one of the last Downey cupcakes that Angela made for me from the shoot. So I think that's still on the Facebook page. So if you want to actually see me eating a sweet, there is picture proof on Facebook, and I'm going to encourage you all to go do that. Again, the rest of the week is jam-packed. On Thursday's show, we've got author Robert Khoury, and he is going to be coming on to talk about his book, Feed a Starving Crowd. I can't wait for you to hear Robert's interview tomorrow night, because he's giving his book away for free, and we will tell you how you can get your own copy tomorrow. And again, it's Robert Khoury, his book, Feed a Starving Crowd. And then Friday, Roxana, friend of the show, she's been on several times, she's coming back on to talk about her latest single. And that's at a special start time of 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. East. I think she's in Toronto. She's in Canada, I think, someplace right now on tour. But she's going to call in and talk about her music, what she's been up to since we last talked to her, which I think is probably about around Christmas time. And then we'll be playing music from her top 10 album, Exotica. And so Roxana will be my VIP special guest star on Friday's show early. Just to let you kind of like know what's been, cooking here for the next week of shows. On Monday, we have a gentleman you may not have heard of before, but you will love his stories. And his name is Harry Cawley. He is, I'm going to call him a Hollywood historian, but he made it very clear to me that he's really had three separate careers in theater, TV, and publishing. And he's been involved in like the Carol Burnett specials, Mama's Family, Facts of Life, all kinds of things like that. And then Tuesday, we've got funny man John Cooperman coming back to the show. Wednesday, we've got Carol Ramsey on to talk about her special talents. Thursday, April 16th, we've got Tanya Elizabeth. She's an author that is here from Australia. We're trying to figure out if we're going to meet for lunch or if she's just going to call in for an interview. Either way, it will be a treat. And then Friday, the 17th, next week, we have a huge treat. We have a big band jazz band by the name of Sasha's Block. Again, another 5 p.m. start time. And the leader of the band is someone who I met at their CD launch party a couple of weeks ago in the hills of Hollywood. We're going to be talking all about that and more, and that will be on the following Friday. I was kind of over chatting here because I want to play a song by Kelly's Lot, and we're going to do, which one are we going to do? I have so many that I want to play. You know what? I need to do this. I need to play Aralee Brighton's Unbroken. We haven't played that for a tiny little bit, and that is a beautiful song by the voice of Xbox video games. So if you have an Xbox at home and you ever hear a lady singing on any of the video games or talking and doing some things like that, that's Aralee. She was a guest on the dance party not too long ago, but this is her first kind of like breakout single as an artist herself, and this is a beautiful, beautiful ballad called Unbroken, and it talks about having an unbroken spirit. This song is for everybody out there tonight, and we will see you live on Thursday with Robert Khoury. Again, Feed a Starving Crowd will be our guest. Don't drive distracted. It's a pleasure to have Phyllis on the show. Thank you, Max. Thanks you. Thanks to Jack, and thanks to everybody part of the Omega File. We'll see you live on Thursday.
Remember when you said, together till the end, we would stay together, chasing down forever, yet here I stand alone, on this broken road, searching for my shattered heart, the pieces scattered. Every broken promise made makes me strive to push through pain, and I will fight the darkness with all the light I have within. Every page before this time now erased from my mind. I'll divide my weakness into strength, though my memory is haunted, my hope remains undaunted, stronger than before. Through all your light spoken, I remain unbroken, stronger than
listening to Rated G Radio.